All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us about walking this narrow walk that you've got us on. And Lord, show us any darkness in our hearts that we could be ready for the day coming here, Lord. And show us where repentance is necessary. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to get us ready for this great day that's ahead of us. And Lord, we just ask and we pray, Father, that you place in our hearts a love for everybody, not just the people that love us, but also the ones who don't love us, Lord. Just like you, we want hearts as you do, Lord, as you had, Lord, for the people. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing that. We praise you, Father, that if there is any repentance necessary, that we go ahead and do it, Lord. Place it in our hearts to go ahead and do it. And if there's any unforgiveness in our hearts, Lord, we ask and we pray, Father, that you show us where it is and that we would repent of it and get back in great and good stead with you, Lord. And we praise you for it, Father. Lord, it's been a long haul. It looks like it's all coming to fruition here shortly. And Father, we just ask for your help. We all need your help, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you just lift us up in your arms, Lord, and carry us the rest of the way. We just surrender everything to you, Lord. I surrender all to you, Father. All the things that have hindered me in the past are yours, Lord. I ain't messing with them no more. I'm letting you take care of them and getting them out of my life, Lord. And I thank you for that. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness for any kind of misstep that I've taken or any kind of sin that I've done. I ask, Lord, that you forgive me of it. And I know I'm sorry for anything that I've done against anybody, Lord. This is the time for repentance, Father, and just place it in our hearts to humbly come to you, Lord, and ask forgiveness and show us the way, Lord, and keep us in the straight and the narrow, Lord. And I just thank you so much, Lord, for being the God of grace and mercy upon us. And the God of love on us, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you, Father. There's some things that need to be said tonight, Father, and they are going to be said with your grace and your mercy on us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome, fruitful time with you. Open our eyes and our ears of understanding to hear what you have to say to us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, all right. Are there any prayer requests tonight? I am in Arkansas, and the bandwidth here is not that great. That's the reason I stay off the video, because it freezes up and knocks me off occasionally. So we'll just do it by audio tonight, if y'all don't mind. So, here we go. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Hi, Judy. That's Sue's hand. I saw Sue's hand. Yeah, there it comes again, flying in there. All right, did y'all have something you want to pray about? Let me unmute you. All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Judy. I got you unmuted.
But I can't. You can't hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well,
talk to me, girl.
Okay. Well, I want to thank the Lord that both my girls have a job at the same place. So the other one will be able to have a ride. And I thank the Lord for the healing that he's going to manifest in me. I'm already healed, but it's going to be manifested when this 40-day trial is over, and I thank him and I praise him for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So I'm good. Thank you, Lord. And Sue went shopping and got some really good deals.
Okay, good deal.
Lord's doing it.
Lord's doing it.
All right, good deals is good, ain't it?
Yeah.
All right, anybody else got a prayer request? What in the world was that? Oh, I need to shut off my email. Can y'all hear that? Okay, good. All right, anybody else got a prayer request? How about a praise report or a testimony? I got a testimony. Blake and I was coming home Sunday, I noticed about 2 or 3 miles from home.
He can't well down it.
Okay, let me talk to him. Hang on. Hey, Matthew, say something. Let me get Blake, help Blake get on here.
Get the phone over there, Michael.
Well, he's giving us his testimony. He's going to leave us in suspense now.
Hey, Matt. Did you get the news about Lois?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Did you want me to share that or something?
No, I might share a little bit of it. I want to share this part. Missy, do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. Well, anyway, so everybody knows there was a girl that was close to factioning out, and David went by and talked to her today, and she repented and was restored, asked the Lord, and they prayed over to take out the demons, and at Monday night's meeting, she had made some comments to both Sue and I. Sue, that's on there with Judy, iPad Judy, and Sue. She made some comments to us, and she wrote me an email, sent me an email apologizing, asking for forgiveness, and I was blessed by that. I really was. So I wrote her back another email. I wrote her back and said that I didn't understand what was going on, but I did accept her apology, and I was praying for her, and I said I would have been devastated if she really factioned out. She's just a neat sister. She's just going through a thing. But the demons were cast out, and everything is fine now. So I hope you don't mind that I shared that, but I thought it was a good testimony that she wrote and apologized to me. So
yeah, it's awesome when someone repents from their ways, you know, and you're able to see that person, you know, see the errors of their way and
right.
You know, that soul for kingdom.
Right.
You know.
That was a good deal.
Yeah. Just one moment, my wife will come over and give a testimony.
I got a testimony while we're waiting for Michael. You know, the group's been on this 40-day liquids only fast, and Matthew didn't allow me to start right away, so I didn't start till the beginning of this month. He didn't allow me to because I'm breastfeeding Obadiah. And I was kind of not really having a lot of faith about that, kind of concerned about that, you know. But I was like, you know, I know the Lord can do it, but I just wondering kind of like, would he, you know, that kind of doubt. But before the fast, there were times where, I mean, the Lord always came through. I always had enough milk for Obadiah, but there were times where it was like just enough. And since fasting, Matthew makes me eat eggs in the morning, so I do have that. But after that, it's just liquid only all day. And since fasting, I've had more than enough milk. And it's just amazing to me because before, it didn't matter how much I ate, how much I drank. It didn't seem like there was anything I could do to increase the milk. But the Lord came through and he, you know, it's just really awesome to me because he took, you know, I would say virtually nothing, but maybe not so much, but less. He took, made more out of less. And it's just amazing to me. And it's just, I don't know, it's just so mind-boggling. It's just a big, big thing to me. So I just want to praise God because he always comes through.
Amen.
So amen.
Yeah, and the Lord's be kind of working on me, especially since she is best reading about fasting. And I was like, okay, you know, if we can do it this way and, you know, have some extra protein in the morning, then that would be okay with me, you know. But the Lord really had to open my heart up a little bit about that. Give me faith for that anyways. So I praise the Lord that he's done this. Yeah, and Obadiah is looking fatter than ever.
He has a little chunk.
Yes. Okay. All right, I'm back. Sorry about that. I'm trying to get Blake on, and he's having trouble. I thought I had Zoom downloaded on there. Leon, when you had it, did you have to redo the Zoom thing altogether?
Yeah, I did. That's why I had you resend that invitation to me. Okay. No, I didn't have to redo the settings, but I did have to have that new invitation.
No, I'm not talking about the invitation. I'm talking right about the Zoom itself. All you had to just click on that link, right?
Right, right. I already had put it on the computer. I put it on that iPad or whatever that is, Kindle, but it showed up on my computer, too, when I... Oh, that I wanted to give a testimony about my computer too, because
okay,
if I could,
sure.
I have a desktop, and it was malfunctioning like crazy. All my it worked just fine. Then I got a notification from Firefox that they were no longer going to support this. I have Vista, Windows Vista. And they were no longer going to support Windows Vista. And I was having problems with my video streaming where it would take me 5 or 10 minutes to watch a 3-minute video because it would play a little bit and then it would update and then it would play a little bit and it would update. So anyway, it was infuriating. It just started. And so Michael phoned me his desktop, which I was using. Then he wanted to give that to Blake, which was fine with me, you know. And I got back on my computer and I started it, and it didn't work right, so I just shut it off. And the next day I started it with Firefox again, and it's absolutely perfect. It's working fine. It's streaming fine. I'm watching on it today, and it just works fine. So praise God for that.
Okay, praise the Lord. That's awesome. Blake, I see you made it.
Is he Rob?
Yeah, he's on there.
No, is he Blake or Robert?
Well, his name is Robert Blake.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me, Blake? You'll have to turn your microphone on, go into settings and sound, And that should do it. And it, you should say internal microphone and internal speakers. I don't even know if he can hear me or not. Can you hear me, Blake? Okay. All right. Anybody? Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
I'd like to pray for my daughter-in-law. She, the other week she texted me or whatever and said about that she's finding some really awesome Christian music. And if y'all remember, me, Tonya's, about her doing Bible study and stuff and wanting suggestions and all, and we prayed for her and stuff. But anyway, so she said she likes Chris Tomlin's music, and I said I do too. And one of the things that I said to her, because she asked me for a suggestion, she asked me about what artists and stuff like that, and I told her, I said, I'm hesitant to recommend a particular artist. I said, because, you know, I'm more concerned about the words and that they're scriptural and stuff like that. And so I gave her some suggestions on songs and stuff. Well, Andrew Strom sent out a email about it with an article that Keith Green had written way back. I don't know when it was written. It had to have been before 82 or maybe earlier in 82 before he got killed in an airplane crash with two of his children. But anyway, so when she told me that there's going to be a concert, Chris Tomlin concert, you know, not too far from where she is, you know, that just right away came to my mind. And I didn't really like ask the Lord. I just strongly felt like the Lord wanted me to send that to her. It's a really, really good article that he wrote about, you know, not worshiping the artist. And I can't even reiterate. Do you remember that article? You probably read it, Michael, because I know you get Andrew Strom's emails.
No, I don't guess I did. I've been awful busy since I've been home.
Well, it was last week, I think, one day or something.
Oh, I don't remember.
But anyway, it was really, really good article. So I sent it to her and kind of said a few words about it. And I said, I didn't know she knew who Keith Green was. I explained a little bit about him, about that he died and stuff. So I would just want to pray that she really receives this article and really think about what it says. So Father, I just ask you to bless Brooke to seek you and to seek your truth and your word and good, healthy music and not be focused on an artist, Lord, but to be focused on finding songs that are scriptural and that give you glory, honor, and praise and that worship you, Lord. And I just ask you to just anoint that article that I sent her and just give her eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, and to seek to worship only you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Awesome. Okay, anyone else? Anything else, Missy?
Not right now, but let me know when you want me to share.
Okay. That. All right, we'll do that.
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Marlon.
Yeah, I have a praise report. Let's praise the Lord for the beautiful, slow, soaking rain we got again. It was getting really dry. And if you live in farm country and you have gardens, those rains are a true blessing from the Lord. I know a lot of people really don't pay much attention to rains, but for us, they're a real blessing from the Lord. So I just thank Him and praise Him for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for a good old soaking rain. Praise God. Okay, let's see. Tracy, go ahead.
Hey, Michael. God bless you. God bless you guys. Jeremy's mom had stage 4 colon cancer, and we've been at the hospital all yesterday, you know, for a couple of days now. Anyway, she went to go be with the Lord around 10 p.m. yesterday, and you know, of course the survivors are taking it pretty rough. And she was awesome, you know. She was a major part of my life as well. And it's just it's amazing what the, you know, what the devil does. I'll just put it like that. So, but she was a believer. She was 63, and just keep us in prayer. Thanks, guys. God bless you all.
Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you for blessing Jeremy and Tracy and all the family members, Lord, with peace in their hearts that Mom has gone to be with you, and she's in a better place now. She's not in any pain anymore. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Amen. All right.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you guys.
You bet. All right, Willie, go ahead, brother.
Cool. I have a close friend of mine. Can you guys hear me just fine? Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
All right. I have a friend, close friend I fellowship with for years. I wanted to put his brother up in prayer. His brother, he's hoping, you know, his brother died. He was on a scalpel. He fell off the scalpel and died. He's looking for the Lord to perform a resurrection concerning his brother. Right now he's, you know, undergoing fasting and just, you know, waiting for the answer from the Lord, you know. And he usually always fasts and he always inquires of God, you know, in situations like this. And so I figure we put our, you know, faith together concerning this situation, you know, that the Lord give him the answer. Just as Christ said, you know, that which I hear my Father say, I say, that which I see my Father do, I do. And, you know, we've been given power, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, open the eyes of the blind. And that's what he's looking for the Lord to perform, you know. Kaneen's death was, you know, unexpected. We would fellowship all the time here in Syracuse before everyone moves from one place to another. And so, you know, I'd just like to pray on that situation, you know, for those who have that faith, you know, that Christ raises the dead. If you can, you know, add your faith to mine and to his, and, you know, I'd like to pray on that.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
But Father, you know, you do all things to your glory. You know, even death works, you know, to perform in your glory, Heavenly Father, that we might, you know, wake up and walk in faith and, you know, exercise ourselves, you know, in spirit and in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, Brother Gideon, to raise his brother from the dead. And Lord, I just ask that you give him a clear, concise answer. You know, I come in agreement with that power, Heavenly Father, and you that raises the dead. That you said you gave us power. You gave us authority, Heavenly Father.
Yeah, we're kind of losing you, Willie.
Yeah, he muted. I think he had a call or something. Well, Lord, we just thank you that you have answered his prayers. We thank you, Father, that your word is true, and it says that when we ask in your name, it shall be given. And, Lord, we thank you that you are giving him the answer that he's looking for in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We hook our faith together with Willie, and we believe it's done in the name of Jesus. I know what your word says, Lord.
Sorry, I apologize about that.
That's okay. Go ahead.
But, yeah. Father, we're just looking for your name to be glorified in this situation, you know, for resurrection power. has this been written in our word, you know, in your word? Lord, we thank you that your answer will be clear, you know, concise, and that, you know, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens. Amen.
Amen. Now, Willie, I have to have some clarification here. Is he looking for this guy to be resurrected from the dead?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Is this friend of yours that is seeking an answer from the Lord, is he looking for his friend to be resurrected from the dead that fell off the scaffold?
Yeah, it was his brother.
Oh, okay. Was the brother saved?
As far as I know, Kanin had given his life to Jesus Christ. I haven't had fellowship with him in quite some time.
Okay. Okay, are these...
The last thing I ever heard about Kanin was him giving his life to Jesus Christ.
Okay. And the brother too that is looking for an answer. He's a believer.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Most definitely.
But he wants his brother raised up, huh?
Yes, sir.
But it says in Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Now, if he understands the authority that God has given him, all he has to do is command it, and it'll be done.
Yeah, he clearly understands it.
Okay. All right. Well, praise God. We believe with him in. Praise the Lord. We're looking forward to seeing him. In Jesus' name. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Blake, go ahead. Anything else? Wait just a minute, Blake. Anything else, Willie?
No, that was it. I got to take off real quick because I'm going back to my place. But I'll be getting back out around near 9 o'clock.
Okay. All right. Thank you, brother. All right. Go ahead, Blake. I'll get right to you, Jackie. I'm not hearing any audio, Blake. We're going to have to get that headset for you. Let me go over here while you're trying to get that microphone fixed. Jackie, you go ahead while Blake's working on that.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I have a testimony. I'm hearing feedback. I don't know if you are. All right, it's better now. But I have a testimony. The other day, I'm puppy sitting. A friend in the neighborhood just got a new puppy, and she's a younger girl, and she went away for a couple weeks. So I'm going back and forth with some other neighbors helping out watching this dog. I have like the morning and the afternoon and a little bit in the evening shift. And anyway, I was walking her the other day, and I'm trying to walk Spot with her, and her name's Jasmine, and I got a call from my brother, so I sat down in the grass and was talking, and I'm so used to Spot, you could just, like, you know, drop the leash, and, like, he won't move anywhere, he just kind of stays put, and I guess I was a little lax, and I set my hand down in the grass, and somebody came up the driveway with a garbage can across the street, and it spooked this little puppy, and she took off, and I was like, oh my, and so I went running after her, and I hung up with my brother, we agreed in prayer, I was like, the dog ran off, and I was like praying, I'm like, stop in the name of Jesus, and she wasn't stopping, and I ran like probably a good half a mile or more, and she ran directly back to her house, and went right in her front yard and laid down, and I was like, oh, praise you, Lord, I was like, I'd feel awful if she got lost, because she's only, you know, a couple months old, and I'm responsible for her, so I was praising God for that, and from running, I got winded, and the enemy put in my mind about the asthma condition, and I was like, Lord, I can't breathe. I think I need an inhaler. And then I cast that down, and I prayed with my brother again, and I was like, immediately I went to reach for it when I got home, and I thought, no, I'm not going to use it, Lord. I'm just going to wait. And, you know, and I had prayed, and I said, Father, please just stretch my faith. I said, but I'm really can't breathe. I feel like someone's sitting on my chest. And I just waited and prayed, and then it went away, and I never did need it. So praise the Lord. Like, that was really an awesome testimony to me, and I just praise God. He took care of little Jasmine, and she's safe, because I'll be picking her mom up from the airport this week.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord of God. Thank you, Lord.
I witnessed my neighbors, too, so it was a really good testimony. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for answer to prayer. All right. Anyone else? Blake, did you get your microphone fixed? Nope. Okay. All right. Well, we got to get all that. I've got your headset in a sack in the truck, so I'll get it to you tomorrow.
He's on mute.
Yeah, I've got him muted right now, but.
Okay.
Hey, can you say anything? Anything? No, can't hear you. Yeah. Do you have you can't hook the phone up to it. All right, anybody else? All right, Dave, go ahead, brother.
I have to say a testimony. It's the first time I ever found that raised hand since we've been using this, so I haven't been raising my hand. Finally found it.
About time.
Okay. Now you can hold me a call for raising my hand if I talk. Hey, if it's not too much of an imposition, and not to make it sound like gossip in any way, can I ask about this faction a little bit? I mean, not that I'm asking for people's names or anything. How did this come out where all of a sudden it was a faction so that it looked like, I mean, I know you guys have a lot of experience with this, you've seen it, but what was the, I guess, the clue that all of a sudden, hey, that's faction? What was happening there? Is that possible? Can I ask that or not?
Well, you just did. What do you mean, can you? You just did. Come on now.
I guess so. I didn't know if it was like speaking
here's where we see how faction starts. Faction starts when someone starts pulling away from the fellowship. Okay? They start backing out the door. They come late and they leave early. That's one of the first signs. Then you see, they'll start talking against somebody. Generally it's David or whoever. It doesn't make any difference who it is. You're not to talk against, you know, about anybody. And when that happens, you know, you bring correction in it. Most generally, a lot of time, they accept it and they repent. Sometimes they don't and they leave. And that's how it works. You see, faction is division. Anybody who talks behind someone else's back to somebody else, rather than going, like it says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, that you go to that person and you talk to him first. And you voice your concerns with the things that you have seen or that bother you, and y'all work it out. And if you go to him, and he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, repent, then you take a witness with you to him. And then if he doesn't repent, you bring him before the body of Christ. And, you know, essentially just separate yourself from them. What's interesting about the factious spirit, we've never, ever had to throw anyone out, so to speak. They've always left. They've always just left, just got up and left, you know. Well, I don't have to take this, and then they'll take off, you know. That's division. That's creating divisiveness in the body. And God, and God calls it faction I believe it's in Titus. And he says after the first or second admonition, separate yourself from them. Don't even greet them, as a matter of fact, after that, if they don't repent. And that's wise, because it does create division in the body. And so that's faction in a nutshell. Of course, you can go on site, and David has study after study after study on faction.
Because I'm always around factious people at work. It's just very factious. Always has been. Never will quit, I don't think. You always get people talking about somebody, or even me, sometimes I get a little frustrated with things, because not that I'm talking against anybody, but you get tired of we got like three tours running and three shifts of maintenance. Well, one shift will pick up something somebody else won't, or they'll speak against somebody that did this, and they're just, you know, always running somebody down, or they'll leave you stuff that you know they could have took care of. You know, you get that kind of stuff all the time. And you work with people, and one minute they're your friend, and the next minute they rail against you or something, and you're thinking, what's going on? So you get it all the time. The biggest thing I've noticed is, you know, try not to let that, like sometimes recently I had to go through that battle on my head again. And it just trying to, you have to cast these thoughts out, because pretty soon your flesh wants to get defensive and it wants to start running. And you might not say anything to anybody, but inside you might be having this great argument or something. All of a sudden, Satan's injecting thoughts in you about, well, that person's this and that person's that. And if you don't catch it pretty soon, you're going to start agreeing with it. And once you start agreeing with it, then it becomes part of you again. And there you are. You're caught up in something that you didn't really plan on doing, but inside you, it's already taken root. Lord kind of gave me some idea a little bit about some of the stuff I was going through, because I think last week and I went like this, because I was going through some stuff trying to figure this all out, because it was, you know, this person just kind of nailed me, and it was out of the blue, and I just like, whoa, it just took me back. And I, you know, was having this personal fight inside. He brought me to Titus today, because I said, you know, I need to have some understanding where it, because I was really struggling with it. I wasn't trying to become a faction. I wasn't trying to get into defending myself. But at the same time, I was trying to hold myself back from any kind of, you know, get involved in anything. Just not trying to, you know, get sucked in. Just kind of leaving myself away from all this. And he gave me Titus chapter 2, starting in, we'll go through the whole thing, but go to Titus, and I'll read from the ASV, getting my better page here. It says, thou therefore, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ. The things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, that the same commit thou the faithful men who shall abide and to teach others. In other words, here we are, not only are we going to receive instruction, but now Paul's saying, hey, I want you to give this to people that are responsible and faithful people, that you're going to pass this on to others too. You're going to help others through this. You're going to teach. He said, suffer hardship with me. So here we go. This is the crucifixion of the flesh. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier in Jesus Christ. You don't have much of an option. And this is a hard thing on the flesh. This was what was hard for me, because you still, the Lord will bring you into suffering. He'll bring you into factious. He'll bring you into people that are going to come against you. And he's doing it because he wants you to suffer this, to bring your flesh down. And we have to do this, otherwise we're not going to be a witness for Christ. We're not going to be able to bring others into the kingdom. And I can't say it's always easy. I can't say it's always going to be a situation you completely understand, but you have to ask for the grace of the Lord to get you through it, so you understand how this is going to help, what you're going to be able to do with this. It says, no soldier, or if you say no Christian on the service, entangles himself in the affairs of this life, In other words, you're not going to sit there and get wrapped up in whatever's going around you and let it take you out. You have to still kick back and suffer hardship, die to self. Don't get too involved where you're going to make it a personal thing. Once you start making this a personal thing, start letting it indwell in your heart, and it starts taking root, and you start having these bitter feelings or anything, guess what? You're entangled in the life of this world.
I got injured in the SEC championship.
Amen.
And there's somebody else there talking this minute. That he may please himself who has enrolled him as a soldier. In other words, you're going to be pleasing the Lord now. You're keeping your focus on the Lord. You're doing what he's bringing you through, right? That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to stay. And then he says right here, if a man contends in the games, in other words, here we are, the game of life. We're walking through life. We're trying to perfect this walk in Christ. He is not crowned except he contend lawfully. So what's our law? What do we got to do? Well, Michael brought it up, Matthew 18, you know. If we have an issue with a brother or a sister, we got to go to him first. We can't just go to the everybody else and start talking about that person behind their back. Or even we can't even open our mouth with somebody else standing there and make an issue with somebody. We have to do this in a private way. All right. So we're going to do things lawfully. We got to go by what the law says. We're bound by what the scripture says. That's going to be good for our flesh and theirs too. And we, again, if we're going to bring correction to anybody, we got to do it in a spirit of gentleness. We can't just, you know, blast off at somebody. That's just the flesh, all right? So he says, a man, we have to contend in these games. We have to do it lawfully. And it says the husbandman, or else here we are, we're the husbandman, and what we're plowing our field. We're tilling this soil up, right? We're trying to make it soft, bring in the word of God. The husband that labors must be the first partaking of fruits. Well, you know, if you're going to abide in the Word of God and you're going to hold yourself accountable, and I can't say you might be get this right every time, but you're going to have to go back and grab that plow and stay on it. When you stay on that plow and tilt the ground and make sure you're softening your heart for this Word and you're taking it in and you're going to abide by it, well, guess what? You're going to get some fruit out of that. He says you're going to partake of the fruits. Consider what I say, for the Lord shall give you understanding in all these things. Didn't he just give you understanding right there how to deal with all this? Remember Jesus Christ, who is from the dead, the seed of David, according to my gospel, wherein I suffered hardship under bonds as a malefactor, or he's a criminal. He's in prison now, and he's suffering hardship for being a criminal for what? For the Word of God. But the Word of God is not bound. He's in prison for the Word of God, but it's still not bound. What he's doing is speaking volumes. He's suffering his hardship. He's being the example. I'm going to suffer hardship for the Word, and he's doing it. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. He just told you. That's why he's there. He's going through hardship. He's enduring this for your sake, for our sake. If we endure hardship for the body, we're doing it for the elect's sake. That they may also be obtained the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Faithful is the saying, for if we died with him, and I like, we go back to Andrew, in faith, if we die with him, we shall also live with him. So how are we going to die? We got to put that flesh to death. We're going to go suffer hardship, and we're going to have to do it. And by doing it, we're going to be helping the body. And we're going to obtain salvation. We shall also live with him. If we endure these hardships, we endure this trial we've got to go through in life, if we keep our hands on that plow, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, how are we going to deny Christ? We'll just let the flesh live. Let that flesh live. Don't get on the cross. I'm not saying, again, you may fail. But get your hand back on that plow and go for it again. Keep on pushing for that fruit. If we deny him, he also will deny us. How is he denying us? Well, you know, you missed the trial, didn't you? We don't want to keep on missing that trial. And also, he's also talking about actually physically denying Christ and saying, hey, you know, having nothing to do with him, whatever, or denying, you're a Christian, whatever it is. You know, you're taking the mark of the beast. Put a lot of things there, but mostly put in you're not crucifying your flesh. You're not denying self. And now you're not allowing him to reign in with you and give you that fruit. But he says, if we are faithless, he abides faithful. Okay, you failed. Right? But he's still there. He's still faithful. He's ready to help you. Don't give up. For he cannot deny himself. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's our goal, right? Keep that focus. Christ in us, hope of glory. He's not going to deny himself. That spiritual man's still there. We're just fighting the carnal man. We're fighting the flesh. Okay, I'm done.
All right. That's what faction is. And the Lord, listen, the thing about that faction spirit, you don't even have to lay hands on anybody. All you have to do is receive what they say. And when you receive what they say, that spirit will jump on you and you're out of there. So that's why he tells us to not even to greet them because of that. That's a bad spirit. I've seen it take people plumb out of the walk that they were in, and they forget everything that they ever knew about the Lord. Lord just wipes them clean. Blake, did you get my message about how to get the microphone on? Okay.
Hey, Michael?
Yes, sir.
I think Dave was asking about that because before you got on, I gave a testimony about a girl that was just about to faction out, and David went over and prayed for her and cast out the demons. And then she had made statements in front of me and Sue, and I told David about it. And anyway, she wrote me sent me an email tonight asking for forgiveness and so on and so forth, and I wrote her back. But that's why David was asking about that, I believe.
Oh, okay.
That's while you were off the off the show, getting Blake set up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as long as no names were mentioned, that's good. That's awesome. Okie doke. Yeah, Matthew, did you had your hand up a while ago?
I did. I was kind of relating to what Dave was saying, because I was going through several factions at my work, you know. And it wasn't just one, it was actually two or more, because at my work, my old work, you have your DIY, which deals directly with customers. Then you have your commercial, which, you know, we go and deliver parts to our commercial accounts and everything. Well, we got a new store manager because our last one left. And, well, there was employees in the store that didn't like this new store manager. And I ended up being in the middle of that one because I'm right there always helping employees and everything. And then we lost our commercial manager, so we got a new commercial manager. Well, the commercial accounts did not like the new commercial manager. And since I was a delivery driver, too, I was in the middle of that one. And so as you're at work, and I'm at work, and I'm feeling both of these just kind of on me all the time. It's like whether I was in it or not, you know, it was all focused at me just because I was the light in the group, whereas, you know, okay, they're factioning against someone, and then all of a sudden it turned against me. And so it's like, oh, okay. And I found myself, actually I didn't, the Lord had to show me that, I knew the individuals who were doing this stuff in our store, and, the Lord showed me that I had unforgiveness toward them. And the Lord's like, this has got to go. And I was like, oh, shoot, man, I'm really messed up. And so I repented and forgave them. I didn't even realize I was actually getting in there. And it was actually, you know, I was starting to become part of it. And the Lord just kind of pulled me aside and said, hey,
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for pulling me out of that. And it, especially, you know, being on this fast, the first, I don't know, the first probably, I want to say 10 to 15 days is probably the worst at work. Not only not having the energy to get stuff done, but all this stuff going on and managers screaming at me and all this other stuff, and it was just, but and then after that, it got a whole lot better. Things started to calm down. At least I thought they were starting to calm down because they weren't directed at me anymore. Because, you know, I forgiven them and I got out of that mess and I stepped back. It's like, I ain't getting into this anymore. And I made the new store manager was always being frustrated because she's always being pushed at every angle. And so she was always yelling at me. And so I talked to her one night and I told her my frustrations and, you know, my concerns. And, you know, she was talking to me about some of hers. And ever since then, you know, she stopped yelling at me. And we became friends after that point. So a lot of it just kind of died down after that point. And at least for me, from my end of the deal anyways. And come to find out that I was actually getting worse in there, but it wasn't focused at me anymore because I went to the trial and I was like, oh no. But now I'm going to be working on a new job, so I'm sure the Lord will have some more trials there. So anyway, I was just going to relate that testimony.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for helping us out. Amen.
I wanted to say real quick, if anybody goes through these trials, like Matthew's talking about, me, it's not like he's singling you out, but he's trying to get you where you're, he's trying to build you up, he's trying to strengthen you. But the way he does that, he has to put you in a place where you're in weakness and you're bewilderment, and then you realize, oh, what you got trapped into, and then you got to realize, oh, where my thoughts are going, and you got to, it's all that, all wrapped up in one big ball that you got to sit there and let the Lord show you what's going on so you can get understanding. And it helps you out for the next time, the next trial, because there's always going to be a next one, and there might be a next one. And so it's just, you know, it's the way he builds us up. And don't get frustrated. You know, it's easy to have the frustration hit you. It hit me. And it's like bewilderment. And then man, you realize it's the attack of the enemy, but you're thinking, man, I don't know what to do with this. Because as much as you might have strength in other areas, all of a sudden you find you're weak again. So it's okay.
Amen. Hey, one thing about it, you can bet your bottom dollar if you don't overcome, it's coming around again. That's the great thing about God. He works that impatience, that patience out in us, one way or the other, you know. And We can either deal with it immediately, or we can wait until we go around the mountain four or five times, and then it'll get. I was talking to a guy today, and he was showing his frustration for this person, and I told him, I said, well, you know, the sooner you deal with that, the sooner these things will quit coming around you. He said, oh yeah, I know, but boy, I tell you what. And I told him, I said, well, how do you deal with somebody that just irritates you all the time? I said, well, you just tell them. I said, I ain't got a whole lot of flesh left, but what I got, I'm going to throw all over you if you don't quit. No, you don't tell them that. you don't say that. What you tell them is you just keep quiet and let them go ahead and rail. That's what I've learned to do, is just go ahead and let them rail and then turn around and walk off. Just turn around and walk off. They'll get the picture.
Yeah, we call that going postal.
Yeah. Yeah. Going postal. Yeah. No, that, as a Christian, we can't do that. We might want to, but we can't. But, you know, it'll get easier the next time. And then the next time, it'll even be easier than that. And then after a while, it won't even bother you. You know, you sit there like a dead man, take all that stuff.
I would say it's the only thing that bothers me the worst is let it still stirs you up. I'm thinking, I'll be glad that even anything hits you, it's just like, oh, you're the dead man. It didn't go anywhere. And I'm thinking, as long as my flesh still gets turned up inside of me, I'm still not arrived, you know.
Well, that's true. That's true. But, you know, as you overcome and you don't show that emotion, you know, whatever's going on inside you, God will take that stuff out of you. He will. He knows that you want that stuff out of you with you not saying anything. He'll take it out of you after a while. Now, I ain't there yet. Don't get me wrong. But I'm getting there because God's doing it in me. I ain't doing it. It's God. I'm allowing him to do what's necessary to kill Michael's flesh. That's the great thing about this walk that we're in. The only thing that we have to provide is the faith in God that he is working it in us to get rid of the flesh and the world around us. The flesh is what takes people to hell all the time. It's the flesh that people stumble on. It's self, you know. I got to have this or I got to have that, when in fact the only thing you got to have is Jesus. That's it. That's what goes into heaven, is the Jesus in you, 30, 60, and 100-fold. If you don't have a 30-fold manifestation of Jesus in your life, you're not going to heaven. How many of you want 100-fold? I want 100-fold, man. I want to be as much as I can be with Christ. And that's why he has told us, you know, remember what he told that guy, that young man? He said, you've done all that stuff. Now he said, I want you to give all your money away and come follow me. Which would have been a big thing for him because he had a lot of money. Well, he couldn't do it because he did have a lot of money and he liked the pleasures of life in his flesh, his self, rather than running after Jesus. And that's what God has called us to. He's to run after Jesus with all our hearts, absolute surrender to the Lord. And when you absolutely surrender to the Lord, you're going to, at some point in time, you're going to manifest that 100-fold life of Jesus in your life. So a lot of people, a lot of churches out there say, well, that's not possible. You can't walk across the room without sinning. Well, that's a lie. That goes contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God says, be ye perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. Well, how do we do that? The only way we can do that is by faith in him that he's doing it in us. And there are conditions that we have to meet. Well, that's works. No, that's not. It's Christ working in us. That's what it is. It's Christ working in us. And just like we've been talking about tonight, it's all about Jesus working in us. Remember the 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. That when you look in the mirror, you just see Jesus by faith, don't we? We look in the mirror and we see Jesus. That's all we see. We see Jesus. When you're talking to people, you just remind yourself, this is Jesus. I'm representing Jesus now. And when that anger starts building up, I need to represent Jesus to these people out here to show them the light of the gospel. The light of the gospel is a pure, holy walk before men. That you are the light that God is looking for to show people who he is. That's who we are. We are ambassadors of Christ. And if you go out there bickering and getting angry and unforgiveness in your heart toward them, that's not Christ. Or if you're out there acting, you know, in the flesh all the time, that's not Christ. He wants you to be just like him walking on earth. And what is being just like Jesus? Well, that's just listening to Jesus. How are you going to know how Jesus acted on earth if you don't read the Word of God and understand what the Word of God says about it? You have to read and study the Word of God. You can't allow man to tell you what Jesus is all about and believe him, because most of them don't understand faith in the first place. They don't understand faith. They think faith is believing that Jesus died on the cross. Now he's sitting up there on the right hand of God, giving me everything I need. No, that's not it at all. Faith is calling those things that are not as though they were. Faith is speaking and confessing Christ and the Word of God as a believer.
Hey, Michael?
Yes.
Judy's had her hand up several times. I don't think she understands that you can't see, so I think she's got some questions for you.
All right, go ahead, Judy.
Something. Can you hear me?
Hello. Yes, ma'am.
Hello. I am so glad I got a message from Lois as well. I just checked my email.
Sue, you're going to have to speak up, hon.
Okay.
Get closer, so closer to the microphone.
Don't mention names either.
I am so glad I got an email from the sister, and I'm so glad that she got delivered, and I'm just jumping for joy.
Awesome.
I know that when somebody falls like that, we need to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness and recognizing that, you know, we could be just as guilty of these things because of the weaknesses that we may have gotten, gone through when we were, before we started living for the Lord. You know, the enemy could bring something up to us and try to draw us down and draw us away. I mean, I know the enemy's tried to do that with me recently, and so I understand that. So I thank you for all the brothers and sisters that we're all willing to help one another to maintain that walk with the Lord, because that's what we need, loving one another to help each other to maintain that walk. You know, I'm glad that you know, she got the prayer, and I thank you, Father, that you're going to continue to work on her and bring her and restore her back to where she was. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answer to prayer, right?
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Awesome. All right. All right, anybody else? Anybody want to comment on faction, or have any questions on what that is, or anything about it? That is a dangerous demon. I'm telling you, I've seen that thing take out people that I didn't think would be taken out. Okay, anybody got a another testimony or a praise report or comment on anything? All right, I asked last week that we talk about the Antichrist beast tonight. Who is the Antichrist beast? What is the Antichrist beast? And what's his job? All right. Barbara, did you have a question?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah,
Missy. Okay.
Michael, did you want me to share that that I put on the blog before we started?
Yes, I do. I do. I'm sorry, I forgot. And also, Matthew wants to. I want Matthew to share what Eve had too. These are just explain what you did, Missy, if you don't mind.
Okay. Well, there's a little bit more to, hold on a second here. I got to get to the blog. Than what I actually shared, in the blog, but this is how the Lord wanted me, to do it. But I'll read them. I mean, I was like just trying to think of what the Lord wanted me to, because I knew this was something that the Lord definitely wanted me to do, and he wanted me to put it on the blog, and I wanted to make sure I even got what he wanted me to title it. And I'm like asking, you know, like the first thing that came to my mind was, I think, A Time to Repent or something like that. And I'm like, Lord, is that what you want me to name it? He didn't give me any answer. And but anyway, I even got the title just by casting lots and asking him. And I, you know, to me, this title kind of sounds a little strong. And I wanted it to be a little milder, but the Lord told me to title it Time to Repent. But this is what I posted. This is what it says. I was praying about this time of repentance being almost up, and the Lord led me to get some verses by faith at random. Then the Lord showed me that he wanted me to share them with you all. The first set of verses was 2 Chronicles 29:5. And in context, it's 5 to 11. And this is what it said. And this is Hezekiah speaking to the Levites. Anyway, it says, and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, now sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the sight of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put on the lamps, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to be tossed to and fro, to be an astonishment and a hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, that his fierce anger may turn away from us. And the next one was Jeremiah 4, verse 1, and I did 1 to 4. If thou wilt return, O Israel, says the Lord, if thou wilt return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not be removed. And thou shalt swear, as the Lord liveth, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness, and the nation shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise your hearts to the Lord, and take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath go forth like fire, and burn so that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. And then I got Jeremiah 31:18, 18 to 20. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a calf unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a darling child? For as often as I speak against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, says the Lord. That's what I put in. That's what I posted. So, yeah, I was astounded at, you know, I mean, I even like was praying and I felt led of the Lord to get verses. And then I asked the Lord, you know, are there any more verses? And he said no. And there was some things that I asked him, because there's more to it than this, but this is all that the Lord was allowing me to share.
Missy? So,
yes.
Missy, it's Leon.
Yeah.
I got that same set of verses on Monday, yesterday morning.
Which verses?
Jeremiah 31, 18 through 20. But
wow.
I read 18 through 22.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. How the Lord does that. It still absolutely amazes me how the Lord does that. I mean, he's got to have your faith to do it, you know, to give you these random verses that so appropriately fit. And I'm still like, it still boggles my mind how he does it. Even though I believe he can do it, I'm like, it's still cool. I praise the Lord for it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Missy.
Yep.
All right.
Oh, Michael, I wanted to share something else real quick.
Okay.
I didn't get to look at it. Did you look at what David posted on the blog? I got it.
Which one? Which time?
It's a real recent one. And there's a video to it. And if you can go find it and look it up, I think I didn't get a chance to look at it, but I'm sure it's pretty, pretty, pretty awesome. But I think it would be awesome if you could put it up and let everybody watch this video then, if you want to take a quick look at that.
What's it about?
Let me go find, I'll read to you what David says to it, says about it. And then there's a video. But this is what he put on the blog. Wow, supernatural. The lion representing Christ inseminates Virgo 9 months before birth. Note, God by his spirit is the father of Jesus. Jesus, the lion of Judah, is the father of this end time man child, just as in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. So the man child cannot be Jesus as many think. The man-child is a modern-day body of people for Jesus to come in by word, seed, and spirit. God took an unknown comet totally out of its normal orbit to enter the loins of the lion and go directly to Virgo's womb, when all of a sudden Jupiter, the heavenly king, shows up in her womb from our point of view. Then the comet goes back to its normal orbit. Only God could do this. This comet does not do this in the history of the world for forward and backward except this time. And then there's a video. Sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's another aspect of the whole Revelation 12 sign.
Yeah. All right. I'm on this little computer. I don't know if I can do that or not. But anyway, we've got a couple other things we need to go through here. I want to read something that was, I have this Daily in His Presence by Andrew Murray, and it's a daily, what do you call those things?
Devotional?
What?
Devotional?
Yeah, devotional. Yeah, my mind kind of went neutral there for a minute. So I want to read this. And it says, continual self-denial is the name of it. And he quotes Matthew 13 and 46, which says, and having found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. And then Mr. Murray says, till the end of your life, every inch of the road is to be made up of denial and dying to self. Denial and dying to self. To think of anything but the continual total denial of our earthly nature is to overlook the very thing on which all depends. You might rejoice in thinking that by knowing these truths, you have found the pearl of great value, but it is not yours till you sell all that you have and buy it. Self is all that you have, and you have to part with it before the pearl can be yours. Self is an apostate nature, continually veering away from God, and it corrupts everything that it touches. All evil tempers are born and nourished in self. Die to this self, to this inward nature, and you will overcome all outward enemies. Only one thing is needed. The Son of God calls us to die to this life and take up his cross. Only then will we be delivered from covetousness and sensuality, from a worldly spirit, from all self-interest and self-exaltation, from all hatred and envy. To try to live entirely devoted to God without totally dying to the self is building castles in the air. To think of being alive in God before we are dead to our own nature is as impossible as for a grain of wheat to be alive before it dies. Spiritual life starts at the true root that grows out of death and is born in a heart deprived of its own natural life. And then he had a prayer at the end of it. He said, Lord, only you yourself could sit in glory at the right hand of God after dying on the cross. Thank you for the new way you opened up for me through the rent veil unto the holiest of all. Amen. I thought that was quite appropriate for the times we're in. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Now, Eve had a word from the Lord. Matthew, do you want to share that?
Sure. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. She titled it A Word from Father. And this is on 9/24/17. Tell my people, I am ready to pour out my blessings upon them. I stand ready continually to bless them, for I love them with a love so deep, so complete, they cannot comprehend its fullness. I want them to receive revelation of my great love and care for them, but the enemy stands ready constantly with spirits of rejection to rob my people of my blessings and the fullness of my promises I intend them to walk in. Casting down their faith with condemnation and doubts of my love for them. I have so much for my people, yet they make me so small. My power is limitless, yet they limit me. Don't believe the lies that say he doesn't love you. How could he? He wouldn't do that for you. Maybe someone else more deserving, but not you. He doesn't hear, nor does he care. Why would he? They are lies, all lies, from a spirit of rejection that hides in the recess of the mind, casting down faith, causing my people to wander in circles in the barren wilderness. Focus on my word and my promises to you, my ultimate love letter to my people. I became flesh for you and suffered and died for you, and all my power I bestowed upon you through the cross in victory. Arise, my people. Let faith arise in your hearts. Dare to believe that I love you, that I joy over you. Be assured in my love for you, and be encouraged that I desire good things for you. I will give you the desires of your heart in Jesus Christ. Concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Isaiah 45:11b. This saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker. Ask me of the things that are to come, concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Revelation 12:10-11. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto death. Psalms 20:1-9. Lord, answer me in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob, set thee up on high. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all my offerings, and accept my burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee thy heart's desire, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will triumph in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know that I the Lord saveth his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will make mention of the name of the Lord our God. They are bowed down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, O Lord, let the King answer us when we call. Psalms 37:3-6. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he will make thy righteousness to go forth as the light, and thy justice as the noonday. Matthew 7:7-11. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him who knocketh, it shall be opened. For what man of you, who, if his son shall ask of him a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Zephaniah 3:15-17. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, and hath cast out thine enemy, the King of Israel. Even the Lord is in the midst of thee, and thou shalt not fear evil any more. In that day it shall be said in Jerusalem, Fear thou not, O Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, the mighty one who shall save. He will rejoice over thee with joy, and he will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and have dawned on you with unfailing kindness. And Eve continues here. Meditate on these promises from our Father, brethren. For he is our mighty God and the defender of the lover of our souls. Be encouraged and at peace in your hearts, and dare to believe his living word which he sent forth to us from the foundation of the world. It's the truth, and our faith will bring it to pass. Love you to you all, Eve.
Amen. Amen. That's wonderful, wonderful word from the Lord.
Well, if I could give a little testimony here.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I have been, the past few days, I've been just really struggling with a little bit of depression and kind of not feeling that, okay, I don't feel, you know, the Lord's there, you know. It was kind of like, it was about a million miles away from me, you know, and, but I knew he loved me, and, you know, I was still believing on those promises and, you know, believing that, you know, I was going to overcome this trial. And then I read this on my lunch break at work, and it was awesome. It was just like the Lord knew exactly when I needed that, you know, and I'm just praising for it. It's awesome.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. He is awesome. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I felt the same thing up till, I don't know, a few days ago, sometime last week or this week. But I felt that, like, I was just, that was all gone. Like, I couldn't feel the Lord. It was like I felt like I was all alone and I was going through the struggle. And I knew it was the enemy had wrapped around me and the enemy was trying to break me at that point, because I knew this is just too overpowering, because it was just too, you could just feel that cloak of heaviness, and you just knew that this is not the spirit that we receive from the Lord, but it was trying to, you know, it was trying to put your light out. And then once I started saying, you know what, this isn't the Lord, I don't receive you, you get away from me now, I start casting it off me, rejecting it, don't receive this, and then the thoughts, I was starting, you know, you had to go through that whole thing, then all of a sudden you could feel it start to lift, and it's the Lord, all of a sudden, finally, somebody broke through and says, yeah, I hear you, it's good, you know, it's fine. Just a little something, I can't remember what it was, I know one of the angels just finally touched me, but, you know, it was that spiritual battle, it's been here, it's, and what Eve was just talking about, I experienced it, I did experience that. So, but it was realizing that it was the enemy trying to bring all this confusion and trying to take us out of, because I think he senses, he sees things happening. That's what I'm saying. We're the ones, but, we're knocking on the door. And so, yeah, the enemies are, he's trying to take us out. We're a big threat, and he's bringing in the big guns. It was all over me. I could feel it.
Amen. Well, thank you, Lord, for your overcoming power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? Got a comment on what Eve said and Missy? Okay. We got a few minutes left. Let me see here. We'll go into, let's get started on this, who is the Antichrist beast. What we need to understand is this right here, and I'm taking all of this from chapter 10 of Hidden Manna, if you want to follow along with me. That the Antichrist and beast are not synonymous. The scriptures teach that Antichrist speaks of the unregenerate spirit, while beast speaks of a nature that is born from the abyss and a body that this spirit and nature abides in. And if you're not willing to add to or take away from the word, look up the term Antichrist. Everywhere it's used in the Bible, and you're going to get a revelation. In fact, you'll wonder where the traditional idea of him as an individual came from if you respect only the scriptures. And among these verses, we're told how to tell who the Antichrist is. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Notice that God speaks of discerning the spirits, plural, in men. And in verse 2 of 1 John 4 says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Notice that the question is not has come in the flesh, but is. He presently in the flesh of the people you are discerning. Did you get that? The question is not has Christ come in the flesh, but is he presently in the flesh of the people you are discerning? Verse 3, and every spirit that confesses not Jesus is not of God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it cometh, and now it is in the world already. And we see that every spirit that is false is the spirit of the Antichrist. The Antichrist incorporates all whose spirit does not confess that Christ is in them. Verse 4, ye are of God, my little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's only two corporate spirits, he that is in you, that's the spirit of Christ, or he that is in the world, that's the spirit of the Antichrist. All are one in Christ because they have his spirit. Galatians 3:28 says, you all are one man in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:9, if any man has not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And David says, however, Solomon showed that the corporate body of the beast has one common unregenerate spirit. Ecclesiastes 3:18 says, I said in my heart, it is because of the sons of men that they may see that they themselves are but as beasts. Verse 19, yea, they have all one breath or spirit. The Holy Spirit first recreates in one corporate man the born-again, life-giving spirit of Jesus from heaven, and then fills that spirit with himself. A corporate body of unholy spirits also recreates in one corporate man a corporate spirit born from the abyss, the Antichrist. In 1 John 5:19, it says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the evil one. So the beast is the body of man that is filled with the spirit and nature from below. Revelation 17:8 tells us that. In Daniel's vision of future great kingdoms that would rule the world, it says in Daniel 7:3, four great beasts came up from the sea. Scripturally, there have been many corporate beasts, but there is also coming the one world corporate beast of Revelation. And we can see these opposing corporate men in Jesus' teaching concerning the bodies of Christ and Antichrist. Matthew 12:30. He that is not with me, that's Christ there, is against me. That's the Antichrist. He that is not with me, Christ, not with me, Christ, is against me. That's the Antichrist. 1 John 4:2, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. A lot of people misquote that when they're having a deliverance ministry, and they try to get the people to say that they confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, and they'll all do it if you've ever been in the deliverance ministry at all. Now, if you've ever heard that, that's crazy. They all will admit that. they got it kind of, they misquoted it, actually. They're trying to get them to confess with their mouth that Christ has come in the flesh and that Christ came in the flesh. And David says, a lying mouth confessing that Christ has come in the flesh is not the same thing as the Spirit confessing Christ as he taught. Matthew 15 and 8. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Lips can lie, but the Holy Spirit in us discerns that spirit in a man. Romans 8 and 16, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You know, sometimes even before speaking to an individual, we're able to discern that their spirit is not the spirit of Christ. And after speaking to them, it's even easier to tell whether they are born of God or not. The spirit in that demon-possessed man was clearly confessing to my spirit and the Holy Spirit that Christ was not in his flesh. The spirits of those who live constantly in willful sin are born of the devil, and they are, therefore, members of his body. Let me say it again. There's a lot of good stuff in here, and it needs to be said. The spirits of those who live constantly in willful sin are born of the devil, and they are, therefore, members of his body. John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father it is your will to do. Now, he was talking to the Pharisees then. 1 John 3 and 8. He that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. And David says, these are the corporate body of Antichrist. Those in whom the Spirit of Christ lives are his corporate body. Romans 8 and 9, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Notice that every true Christian has the born again Spirit of Christ. Verse 10 again of Romans 8. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The words of Christ reproduce his Spirit and life in his obedient people. Did you get that? Obedient people. That's people who obey the commandments of God. John chapter 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life. David says, in the same way the words from Satan reproduce his spirit in the disobedient. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, wherein ye once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. Satan is not omnipresent, but rules all lost men through his legions of demons. As Christ leads a body of angel spirits from heaven in the work of reproducing his spirit in the righteous, so the devil leads a body of demon spirits from hell to reproduce his spirit in the wicked. This creates in the righteous a corporate spirit of Christ born from above, and in the wicked, a corporate spirit of the devil born from beneath, as Jesus said. And then John 8 and 23 says, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. So we see that the spirit of the beast comes from the abyss or bottomless pit, and inhabits all of the sons of perdition. Revelation 17 and 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss and to go into perdition. David says, it should not surprise any that this spirit from the abyss is corporate. because all the other symbolic characters in Revelation are corporate too, as we have seen and will continue to see later on. The United Beast Body. In this way, the spirit of the beast from the pit inhabits, is worshipped by, and has authority over all lost mankind who will make war on the saints. That's going to happen. Revelation 13 and 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And there was given to him authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him. Everyone whose name hath not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that hath been slain. These are all members of the beast body, and they worship him. Americans are members of the body of the U.S., and they, through the spirits of nationalism and patriotism, worship it. The coming beast is just a U.S. of the world. Christians are members of the body of Christ, and they worship Christ. His spirit inhabits and has authority over them. Just as the Antichrist spirit has a beast body of all nations, Christ has a body delivered out of all nations. Just as Israel in her apostasy is being gathered out of all nations, so the church in apostasy is being gathered out of all nations. They come out of captivity in Antichrist into Christ. Praise God. Jeremiah 29 and 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn again your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations. Is there any questions on anything we're talking about here? You understand that the beast is a corporate body. It's not just something that's going to be coming up out of the ocean with scuba diving gear on. And the Antichrist is not one man. It is the spirit that's in all men. And that's the spirit that's going to happen here shortly. You can see the Antichrist in people around you, you know, everyday life. And of course, the beast is the world. The Antichrist spirit of those people that are against Christ, that aren't saved. You know, a lot of people say that they're saved, but they act like an Antichrist, you know, like Dave was talking about earlier. People call themselves Christians, but they act like a heathen, you know, a pagan. Now, I know that even as new Christians come to Christ, they have a lot to learn, but they're at least doing like Obadiah will be doing here shortly. That'll be walking and then falling down, but getting up again and walking again, you know. That's what a Christian does. He keeps falling forward. And he gets up and he'll go again. It's those that don't get up that are messed up. But the Antichrist is the Antichrist spirit in the people of the nations. And then, of course, the beast is the worldly ways. There's a lot more to this this chapter. I'm going to just hit a couple of highlights real quick. Although Antichrist is in the entire world outside of Christ, there is a religious portion of him in the worldly temple, the apostate church, 1 John 2 and 18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as ye heard, that Antichrist cometh. Even now have there arisen many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they all are not of us. So we see in this case they had heard that Antichrist cometh, but he corrected them by saying that the apostates among them were many Antichrists in the present, now. And notice that he was only speaking of the Antichrists that were coming out of the true body. Jesus never said that there would be one false Christ, as men often do, but that there would be many of them. Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christ. That's plural, isn't it? Yep. There shall arise false Christ. And then in Luke 21:8. Take heed that ye be not led astray, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Go ye not after them. So there's a corporate body of the Antichrist spirit, and there's a lot of religious leaders out there that are Antichrist who attempt to deceive God's people in order to get them to join their little body and give money.
Hey, Michael?
Yes, sir.
David was raising his hand.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Oh, all right. I was going to talk a little bit about that Antichrist spirit. You know, it's kind of confusing because you see the whole world just falling apart and getting angry at itself about all sorts of things. You see Satan stirring everybody up about one thing or another, race, and then it's about nationalities, and then it's going on about, you know, economics, and it's going on party, and you're seeing all this strife coming up. But, and you're thinking, well, eventually that whole thing is going to be focused against Christians, because that's going to be Antichrist, and even the religious spirits, which you're talking about, Michael. I'm thinking, you know, you're getting these people, everybody's trying to find what they're thinking is the true path, and where you got to be, and who's wrong and who's right, and they're trying to cause division and strife, and even the religious leaders, I think it's going to be strife. They're going to be driven about a religious spirit. But the Christians are going to stand up and say, no, this is what the Word of God says. This is how it stands. You know, there is no division. There is no strife. There is no hatred. We start preaching against everything that they're standing for, because we're going to say, that's not God. That's Satan. We start exposing it for what it is. And then that's when that spirit's going to rise up against all the Christians. That's all I can figure, is because everything we are is so contrary to what that world is. And again, we go back to Titus, not to get entangled in that stuff, not to let it become part of us. You know, and when I just want to correct something real quick. When I said put your hand back on the plow, start pushing that ground, I wasn't saying work for yourself. That's not work. So I'm not trying to preach works. I'm saying repentance, you know, faith, get back in the close to the Lord, you know, draw close to him, you know, turn. That's our biggest thing we can do about putting our hand on the plow, is just repenting and turning and running to him. That's all I want to say.
Amen. Well, all right. What do we do in order to hide ourselves from the beast and the Antichrist? We hide ourselves in Christ, don't we? We hide ourselves in the Word. We get in the Word. If you're not in the Word, how are you going to call yourself Christ-like? You can't. You have to get in the Word. That's a discipline. It's a command of God. Obey. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. How are you going to know his commandments if you don't read the Word? Well, okay. Let's see here. I don't even know what time it is. Okay. Looks like we're getting pretty close here. Has anybody got anything they'd like to add or question? Anything about? What do y'all want to talk about Thursday night?
Michael, how about the rest of the Antichrist? You didn't read the whole thing, did you?
Oh, no. No, there's quite a bit more to it. There's quite a bit more to it. If y'all want to go back some more into that, we can.
What did you read on the who'd you read there about the flesh there earlier, Michael? Self? Who was that?
Oh, that was Andrew Murray's daily devotional.
We can read some Andrew Murray, too. But what was that? That was really good. I need to go back over that, but eventually.
Well, the name of it is Daily in His Presence. It's a daily devotional. It goes through every day of the, and I was reading September the 22nd, day of devotion. Uh-huh. Every one of them is, every month is a different theme. September is the theme of getting out of self.
Well, that's pretty timely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the way God works, you know.
Yeah. Especially since we're in the, this is the last 10 days, it's supposed to be of repentance, is it? What was that? David mentioned that.
We have...
this is a Jewish thing, but, you know,
yeah,
getting ready.
Yeah, Friday. Friday is the last day and of that day of repentance. Last day of repentance, of the 10 days of repentance before.
Right.
What is that?
I remember, yeah.
Yom Kippur.
Yeah, Yom Kippur.
Day of Atonement.
Yeah,
it's
Day
also,
of Atonement.
It's also Rosh Hashanah.
Yes, it is.
New Year's.
Yep. Okay, yeah, we'll continue on if y'all want to in the Antichrist. There's a lot there about the Antichrist and the beast.
Read some of the Andrew Murray, too, if you can. I think that's pretty timely. It'd be nice to hear of that, too.
Well, I've got many books of his, so which one you...
Well, we'll continue on with the daily.
Okay, we can do that.
Okay.
Hey, Michael, Obadiah is celebrating about what you just read. And
okay. Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. Yes, he is. Okay, we'll do that. All right. Let's see here. All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the stuff that you've given David over the years about the end times things. And Lord, it's just been awesome to go through the scriptures with him and to understand those scriptures now, whereas before it was just, I knew they were there, but Lord, I didn't know where to put them. And you gave it all to David to put it in order and to explain the things that we need to know about. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you are growing us up in you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that when we do look in the mirror, we know by faith that that's Jesus fixing to go out this morning. You know, and that's what we do. We walk by faith. And, Lord, we thank you for your great and bold faith that you've placed in us, Lord. You said if you've got the faith the size of a little old bitty tiny mustard seed that you can shake out of a salt shaker, Lord, that you can move mountains out into the sea. And I believe that, Lord. You've really placed some bold faith in these people that are around us, Lord. And we've seen a lot of big miracle prayers answered. One was today. And we thank you, Lord, for that soul that was headed toward the abyss that's brought back again. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Be with us tonight. Give us a good night's sleep. And let us dream dreams of the times ahead, Lord. And give us also visions to your people. Those that are praying for them, Lord, let them see them. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to give Brother Willie's friend there the answers that he wants, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, folks. God bless you.
Good night, everyone.